And the gym class gets underway, taking it through the 3 o'clock hour here at KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated in a place where families meet up again and again for lunch, after work, to catch the game, for an affordable and delicious meal. Stop on by at Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the gym class program right here on KGYM. Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line available to you out there at 319-366-1600. Hertina Stocker Jewelers, located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Also a little bit of Iowa football news to talk about, as a couple of the assistant coaches met with the media earlier on today, including linebackers coach Seth Wallace, who had a couple interesting things to say. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But the topic du jour today, we look back at what was not a great game, but a great season of Iowa women's basketball as they fell to the Baylor Bears last night, 85-53 down in Greensboro. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I thought Iowa played hard, just didn't play well enough, didn't shoot well enough, and got beat by a better team, plain and simple. Teams play 50 times, Iowa might win one. That's just the way it is. Baylor is that good. And Iowa did not shoot it well. If your name was not Megan Gustafson, you shot 9 out of 39 from the field. That's not going to win many games, especially against the number one overall team such as Baylor. But you're right, it was a remarkable season. Reaching the Elite Eight is rarefied air in the Iowa women's program and the Iowa basketball program in general. And the Iowa Hawkeyes have just returned to Iowa. They're reading some reports of some fans greeting the team.
Yeah, that was nice. Got a nice,
very welcoming
police escort from the Coralville Police Department, too.
Well deserved. And this team is going to be remembered for a long time.
Yeah, not only because of Megan Gustafson, obviously. First and foremost, number 10, who played her final college basketball game last night. The next time we see Megan Gustafson in Iowa City, it will be to put number 10 in the rafters at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I think that's the worst-kept secret in Iowa City and in America right now. But not only her, but also Anna Stewart, Tania Davis, and just that group, that those three seniors especially on this team. They came back from a lot. Tania Davis coming back from two injuries to her knees, two complete knee rehabilitations out there. Megan Gustafson doing what she did, and then Hannah Stewart, a very good story as well, almost left the Iowa basketball team after her freshman year for lack of playing time. And it just shows, I think it's a very good life lesson out there for the kids and et cetera, maybe the parents as well. If you don't get the playing time right away, you work hard, you might get the playing time down the road.
Yeah, a lot of emotion after last night's game, and you would expect that. As Megan Gustafson said, you knew it was going to come to an end at some point. You just never wanted it to end. But it did last night for the Iowa women's basketball program. 32-point loss to Baylor, and that's the end. And a lot of good memories to take away from the season. On the Hertin and Stocker Jeweler text line, a couple comments already coming in. Ryan, the food delivery guy: last night's game showed once again the difference between the number one team and the number eight team in women's basketball. The top three or four, really good. The rest are quite a ways behind, but a great season nonetheless. Now, in the women's final four, Scott, as you know, we have two number ones and two number twos. But I think Ryan is absolutely right. Unlike the men's game where you have a one, a two, a three, and a six, you don't see that very often.
You're not going to have that in the women's game. It was one versus two chalk. And it's not quite as bad as it used to be. I say used to be in quotations, maybe 5-10 years ago when you knew the four number ones were going to get there and they were just head and shoulders above the rest. But it's probably gone to maybe six, seven. On the outside, it's the gap is getting a we're not speeding toward the gap shortening between the top echelon women's basketball teams and the really good teams.
I think it's more like 4-6. You did see an Iowa team reach the top eight this year in terms of the seedings. And each and every year you're going to see an Iowa in there. But whether it can overcome that top 4, 5, 6 teams, especially the 1 and 2. I mean, for a long time it was Connecticut. This year it might be Notre Dame. It might be Baylor. Don't count out Connecticut. But it's really a handful of teams in the women's game. As Ed says on the text line, unfortunately in women's basketball, there are only about 4 or 5 teams that can win it all year in and year out.
Yeah. Well, two things were going against Iowa last night. Number one, just you take a look on the court. And Iowa had Megan Gustafson, yes. Hannah Stewart also a formidable physical presence out there. But you take a look at Taniya Davis trying to take it inside against 6'7 and 6'4 in there.
Right.
That's tough. You see Kathleen Doyle trying to do the same thing. Mackenzie Meyer got pretty much shut down last night. Baylor said they were not going to. Megan's going to get her points.
She had an quote-unquote average game and had 23-9.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Another double-double. By the way, Megan Gustafson became the fourth player in NCAA women's basketball history to amass 1,000 points in one season. Did that on her very last shot, last field goal of her career, and courtesy of ESPN. We can replay that moment for
sure.
You.
Sure.
Gustafson got it! Megan Gustafson over 1,000 points for this season. Only the fourth player in women's basketball Division I history to do that.
Thank you, Pam Ward. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Courtesy of ESPN right there. 319-366-1600, so Megan Gustafson got that. Other than going against Iowa last night, and we probably should have played more this angle up yesterday, basketball, more than any other sports, a game of matchups. And that was just not a good matchup for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State, much better matchup against Baylor than Iowa was, because Iowa State had Bridget Carleton and Alexis Middleton, who were physically imposing in their own right, and they can handle the ball, and they took it right at them. They spread it out, let those two go. Iowa didn't have that. Taniya Davis could get around the first wave, but then had her shot blocked several times, and it's not Taniya's fault.
You have to credit Baylor's defense.
Absolutely.
They did that against teams year in and year, all year.
Yeah,
all
and,
year.
And the same thing with Kathleen Doyle. And then they send a 5'11 girl out to cover Mackenzie Meyer and make sure she can't get three-pointers off. It was not a good matchup. Iowa needed to play the best game that they did the entire season to come away with the victory, and it just didn't play out last night.
Yeah, I have to get this off my chest. The other aspect to this game last night was the reaction of a portion of the Iowa fan base and even some media members on Twitter last night. I'm on Twitter, Scott, because of my job. I think it's today's breaking news on Twitter, but it's also a toxic venue in so many respects, not just sports. And I think people have to be careful in that regard. A lot of folks not only criticizing Kim Mulkey, the Baylor coach, but getting very, very personal. And that's where I drew the line. Calling her a grump, among other things. Criticizing her outfit. Oh, by the way, if you paid any attention to women's basketball, and a lot of you out there wouldn't have walked across the street 2 months ago to see a women's basketball game until Iowa became relevant, she's known for her outfits. She's got snakeskin, this and that, and she wore an outlandish outfit last. Who cares? George Raveling got criticized for wearing warm-ups on the sideline instead of a suit.
And now you take a look at it.
Who cares?
In high school, a lot of people don't wear suits.
Listen, she's a sassy Southerner who's often smug. She can be controversial. I was offered last night an article, a two-year-old article, by the way, of her calling out people that don't send their daughters to Baylor. She said, "I'd knock people right in the face." Now, that's not a cool thing. But you can criticize Kim Mulkey for her coaching. But when it gets personal, not with just with Kim, with anybody, that's where I draw the line on Twitter. And to say that she's an extension of the brand that Baylor has, it doesn't make any sense. She has not had a hint of NCAA investigations. She hasn't had the sexual assaults that Art Briles had in his program and the multiple issues that Dave Bliss had in his men's basketball program. What is it, guilt by association? Extension of the brand? So you're automatic. She was there before Bliss and Briles got there, and she's there long after that.
Probably not going anywhere.
It just confounded me last night, and it's hard to keep your mouth shut and your fingers from not responding to people. And finally, I just threw the phone down, and I'm done with it. When it gets that personal and that ridiculous, I just get done with it. And I'm sorry. I love Twitter. I think it's a useful product, but in many respects, it's so toxic.
319-366-1600. You'd like to talk Iowa Baylor here, as the Hawkeyes have their season come to an end last night, 85-53. So it'll be, what is it? Got two number ones and two number twos now.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut, Notre Dame are going to play. And Baylor and Oregon, I believe. I believe that's how it's going to play out. So should be a good Final Four for not only the men's and the women's. And we'll have coverage of the women's Final Four starting on Friday night. We'll join up with the play in Tampa starting at 7 o'clock tonight, or on Friday night, I should say. 7 o'clock on Friday night for you here on KGYM. 319-366-1600, Hertzina Stocker Jewelers text line. You can also phone us at 319-366-1600.
End of rant. Fred Hoiberg introduced as the new Nebraska head coach today.
Right
the
now.
Former Iowa State head coach. That's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Will Fred Hoiberg replicate the success he had at ISU in Lincoln? Yes or no? And thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Yeah, go ahead and let us know about that. It's going to take a while. The cupboard is bare right now for Nebraska basketball.
Although he is known to dip into the junior college ranks, and there is the portal nowadays, as you know.
Right. So. Very much so. Very much so. And, yeah, it's going to take a while, though. He's going to have to get the right people to come to Lincoln. Do not be surprised if Fred Hoiberg comes across the Missouri River a few times to try to get a few talented players from the state of Iowa to try to make their way over there, especially from the Des Moines area and from Western Iowa, to try to get over there to Lincoln. He's got great facilities, maybe the best facilities in the Big Ten. They're going to have to give him some time, and I think they will give him some time over there. As long as Frost wins, everything's going to be fine as far as basketball is concerned. That's my take on it. That's my take on it over there.
Well, you can turn around a basketball program a lot quicker than you can a football program.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think Fred Hoiberg will get it done that first year, but I mean, how long has he been away from the college game? And the college recruiting and all that goes into being a college basketball coach.
5-6 years-ish, right in there.
You can get on the bicycle and ride again, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. By the way, the All-American team coming out today as far as NCAA basketball is concerned.
This is your rant, right?
Well, Carson Edwards needs to be on the first team.
Who are you going to kick off?
Barrett. Look at the numbers.
Okay.
Barrett's only there because of He's going to be a high draft choice, and he played for Duke.
The other members of the team were?
Williams of Tennessee, of course, Zion Williamson, Cassius Winston, and Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Edwards was a second teamer, and if you maybe the voting was done before the NCAA tournament, I'm sure it was, but even prior to that, Carson Edwards was 1A as far as the best player in the NCAA tournament, along with Cassius Winston. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt about it. 18 minutes past the hour at 3. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. We're going to do that with Joe Rivera of the Sporting News. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. Did have some Iowa football, a little bit of news today. Seth Wallace, one of the two coaches that talked to the media earlier on in Iowa City today. And we now have we have terminology, Mark, for the new position.
We do indeed.
The Imani Hooker position. That is now your cash linebacker or cash safety or cash defender.
Ring it up.
Cash. If they go to a nickel, it's the star. Don't ask me how. That's how they differentiate it. It's going to be hard for the, Joe Fan at Kinnick Stadium to differentiate that. Basically what it is now is Iowa's a 4-2-5 defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this comes down to. And Iowa not the first one to make that switch, but it was even talked about today, the recruiting trail a little bit. Iowa looks like they're going to be going after some more defensive backs than they are linebackers now. So you've got your 4-2-5, I guess, mm-hmm. for a lack of a better term at this point.
Other news, Imani Jones, who opened the season as a starting linebacker last season and quickly fell out of the lineup, he's being used on the defensive line right now.
Correct.
As a rusher. So that's kind of an interesting development as well.
Yeah, and there's talk that you may see a 3-4-ish look at times because Iowa went from a great wealth of defensive linemen last year, and of course you lose all of the firepower that Iowa did up front. You maybe go to a 3-4 look.
Nelson's Hesse, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go to a 3-4 look a little bit more because you're going to have a double team. there's going to be a double team on one of those ends, I got a feeling, for most of the Iowa football games coming up this year. 20 minutes past the hour at 3. Cash, Mark. Cash linebacker. Cash safety. That's what it's called. That's what it's called at this point anyway. Twins baseball coming up tonight. Twins in action in Kansas City to take on the Royals. We'll talk about that and other things with Joe Rivera coming up here in just a moment. It's Division III week as well as far as NCAA athletics is concerned. And the commissioner of the Iowa Conference, Chuck Juergeren, is going to be joining us in about 28 minutes or so. We'll talk with Chuck about what's going on as far as NCAA Division III week is concerned. A lot of Division III institutions, obviously, in the state of Iowa and around the Midwest, and they do just a terrific job year in and year out. We got one phone call to get to. We got Joel Muscatine.
Sounds great.
Who wants to join us before we take a break and talk to Joe Rivera. Joel, good afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
You're speaking my language, defensive lineman.
Were you a cash linebacker, Joel?
No, I was a zero technique nose tackle. Which is what Iowa has on campus in Davey and Nixon. And so that's why you also have some flexibility to go 3-4, because you have a one technique that you can play inside that's going to command a double team potentially. That's what Alabama was recruiting him to play. And so you've got a guy that gives you that flexibility. When you look at Imani Jones, moving to the outside rush position, think of that player from Northern Illinois last year who came in with all the sack accolades.
Right.
I can't remember his name. But that's Imani Jones, except he's bigger and faster than that player. So if you ask a guy to pin his ears back and go, he doesn't have to think that much. And that defense becomes very simple. And I don't mean that in a negative thing. It just becomes very simple so all the players can play fast. And A.J. Epenesa is big enough that he doesn't have to be outside. He can play on the inside shade of that tackle, or what's called a five technique. And he can play that and force you to have to formation to account for him and give you more options in the blitz packages. When you have a player in that cash or star position, Now you're bringing multiple layers to be able to fire at that quarterback and in run fits. It's very complex to block. And so it should be fun to watch the Iowa defensive evolution. We're no longer at the fish on the Darwin chart. We've grown legs. so it's going to be pretty entertaining to watch Hawkeye defense.
That is a great way to put it, Joel. That is a great
right,
way
thanks,
to
guys.
Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it. Joel from Muscatine joining us here at 3:23. We need to take a break, come back, and we are going to check in with Joe Rivera, talk a little Major League Baseball, which we do usually on Tuesdays during the baseball season. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics April 4th in Cedar Rapids or April 11th at their Coralville location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Come see this new affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary donor wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
Back with you on the gym class at 3:27. We've got Colonels tickets for you to win before 4 o'clock today. Colonels open the season on Thursday as they host the Peoria Chiefs. And we've got tickets to see the Colonels in Kane County play next week. It's media night tonight. Looking forward to seeing the coaches, some of the players out there. And it is open to the public tonight out at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Field. 7 o'clock, I believe, and with the sunshine out, I think the Colonels will go through a little bit of a workout tonight for the public. So make plans to be out there at the ballpark coming up tonight. He's at the ballpark quite a bit. Joe Rivera joining us, covers baseball for the Sporting News. Give him a follow on Twitter as We talked some Major League Baseball for the first time here in 2019. And that's got a good ring to it, doesn't it, Joe? Good afternoon, and as I bring you in here.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does. Taking a little break from the ballpark today, but nothing like baseball. Surely brings on the hope of spring and the warmth, and summer's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner. The age-old question, when is it too early to be optimistic, and when is it too early to panic?
You know, I think you have to look at the big picture here. I think you can always lose a division in April, but you can't win one, right? That's the old saying in baseball. So you keep losing players like the Yankees are doing, or you look at the Red Sox and then you see their starting pitching. There's a little bit of cause for concern, especially if those are the guys you're relying on. Pitching can always be a little wonky early in the season, but I think you get to the 20, 25, 30 game mark, and that's when you can start asking the questions. But until then, I think we're still a bit of ways away from pushing that panic button for a lot of these teams.
I would agree. But along those lines, are there teams that in these handful of games that you're really surprised about, either positively or negatively?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm a little surprised with what the Mariners are doing. Their offense has really showed up so far early in the season. I was a little critical of Jerry DePoto this offseason. It really just kind of seems over the course of his Mariners tenure that he hasn't had a clear direction, but now you're kind of seeing speed and power is going to be their game. So we've seen that materialize a bit so far with their offense. We'll see if they can keep it going. I still think pitching is probably the biggest question mark there, especially with shipping Edwin Diaz off to the Mets. You don't know how much Felix Hernandez really has left in the tank, and shipping James Paxton off to the Yankees. So I think there are some questions left, but I am really surprised at the start the Mariners have gotten off to.
Well, speaking of the Yankees, everybody went through a panic-stricken weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. Yankees are still 2-2, but like you said, Stanton's gone on the DL now. Some guys are getting injured anyway. Still, it's 2-2, and everything's not that bad in New York, is it?
No, you know, and it's funny. How's this for a crazy stat? The Yankees hit .500 last night for the first time since Sunday morning. So it's really been a long time since the Yankees saw .500. But listen, I think the Yankees do have their question marks, to be fair. I think the rotation's got some question marks top to bottom. CC Sabathia is still out. He's probably going to be back within the next week. Luis Severino's got the shoulder injury, and we don't know when we'll see him. Maybe mid-May, maybe June, who knows. James Paxton pitched well in his first start, but we know that he's never hit 200 innings in his career. So I do think that the Yankees have some question marks. I wouldn't be concerned about teams like the Orioles. Believe it or not, I don't think the Orioles are going to be playing 750 baseball for the rest of the season. I just don't. I don't think that's in the cards. But yeah, I do think the Yankees have some question marks, but nothing to be concerned about, even with the Andujar injury.
Before the season, Joe, was there a team or teams that you thought had a really good chance to disrupt the balance of power in any division?
I think the Rays are a team. We saw what they did last year with some of the trades, bringing in Tommy Pham, Austin Meadows, and I really, really liked their offseason. Bringing in Charlie Morton was a great signing for them. Trading for Yandy Diaz, we've seen he's been pretty good offensively so far. And they kind of played spoiler last year. They were a very quiet 90-win team last year. All eyes were on the Red Sox, and all eyes were on the Yankees at 108 and 100 wins, respectively, in that division. But if the Rays can keep it together pitching-wise, if Brent Honeywell comes back midway through the season and looks like that top prospect pitcher that they expect him to be coming back from Tommy John, I think that they could really upset the balance in the East there. They could play spoiler. Maybe even make a run at a wild card. And I think in the NL, the Reds are a team that intrigued me only for the Puig trade. They finally get rid of Homer Bailey, whose contract was not good. It never worked out for them. They bring in Matt Kemp. And they have a pretty good lineup who's anchored by a perennial MVP candidate, Eugenio Suarez. So I do like the Reds, too, in the Central. That's a tough division, but I think they could play spoiler and they could upset some other teams in the National League this year.
Hmm.
The Cleveland Indians, I got a chance to see them last night taking on the White Sox, and they have so many injuries right now. Lindor, Kipnis, and just trying to I think you would worry more about the Indians if they weren't in the American League Central. And I say that as an American League Central follower, as well as Mark here. But if they can stay above 500 until they get these guys back, they got to be feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, and like you said, I think that the Indians really benefit from being in such a poor division. I don't think anybody really expects much out of the Twins this year. They have a cute team. I think that they might be better offensively than people think, but aside from that, I don't like their pitching outside of Berrios, so I really don't expect them to challenge the Indians at all. And we saw last year with the Indians, they were about 15 games over 500 versus AL Central teams, which is good when you're a division leader. That's what you want to do, right? But they were under 500 versus everybody else in the American League. So I do think that they kind of win that division by default. I think once Lindor gets back, they'll be a more complete team. They still have Carrasco and Kluber and Bauer at the top. And we saw Clevinger had a 12-strikeout game. So if he can get going for them and he can be good, then I think that the Indians have an excellent rotation along with the other guys. But, yeah, until Lindor gets back, I think that they're still a work in progress. But they could make noise given their pitching staff.
We trust in Joe Rivera, but I hope you're very wrong, my friend, about that cute team in Minnesota.
I want to like the Twins more than I do. Listen, I thought that the Marwin signing was really good for them. They kind of got him at a discount, a lot less than he was expecting. You bring in Nelson Cruz, who's a power threat at anywhere. He can play in any ballpark. He's a power threat. You bring in Duda and hope he can be a power guy too. I don't know. I just don't know what the Twins are going to be. It's tough for me. We'll see what Max Kepler can turn into if he can take that next step. A lot's riding on him. We'll see if Byron Buxton can be a superstar player like a lot of people expected him to be. But again, I'm not sure that they're going to win that division this year. If anything, their pitching is going to be a work in progress, even with Pineda looking pretty good in his first start in over a year. So I'm not really trusting the Twins yet, but we'll see. We'll see where they go.
I'd agree with you on the pitching. On a serious note, Joe, for sure. I want to ask you about Miguel Sano. My patience is wearing thin on this guy. Is that a good or bad approach?
No, I think it's fair. I think it's fair. He had a down year. He had the injury issues. I know a lot of he's a big guy, so he is still just 25 years old. So he's got some time left to figure things out. We'll see. I like Sano. I thought, you know, his rookie year, his first 2 years, he was a massive power threat. He was one of the better power guys in Major League Baseball. He's having injury issues, hasn't played yet this year. So who knows? Who knows what Sano's going to be? A guy that big playing on a bum heel, that's going to be rough to come back from. I still think there's time left for him to get it right. So we'll see. But I don't think it's unfair to say you're getting a little impatient with him. I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rivera joining us, 3:36 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Now that the season has started, we're starting to see pitching staff successes and not-so-successful starts. How long till we see a Kimbrel and a Keuchel get signed?
Oh, that's a great question. I wish I had an answer for you. I think that they should both be signed now. I think that the market's probably heating up with Keuchel a little bit, only because who knows how long it's going to take for both guys to get in game shape, too. And I think Keuchel's going to come at a much cheaper cost. And for a guy that won a Cy Young, who's been one of the better pitchers in baseball over the last 5 years, even with the injuries and coming off an up-and-down year, I think he's going to be the first to sign. So I do like Keuchel first to sign. But, I don't know why both guys aren't signed. We all know Kimbrel's one of the premier relief pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. He did have a rocky postseason, to be fair, but it's not like the guy's ancient. He's 30 years old. He's coming off a solid year. And the same for Keuchel. He's 30 years old. He's coming off a pretty good year. Some inconsistencies there. He did lead the American League in hits allowed last year, which is tough. But again, if I were a team in contention, there's no reason not to bring a lefty in who's won a Cy Young, who's just a year removed from one of his better years in the show.
Are they asking for too much money or too many years or both?
You know, I don't think it's the years as much as the money. I think the last rumor on Keuchel was he wanted a 4-year deal, which is about right. He is 30 years old, so even if he was asking for a six-year deal, you don't really have to worry about it as much. I know that Kimbrell had the ridiculous contract offers earlier in the offseason. He wanted that nine-figure deal over 6 years, whatever it was. He was never going to get that. That's a case of just aiming high and hope you can end on a good number that works out for both sides. So I don't know why both guys, again, I don't know why they're not signed. We saw Gio Gonzalez sign with the Yankees much too late, I think. I thought they should have been in on Gio much earlier, but I don't think it's the money, at least at this point. Keuchel's still waiting for an offer he says he feels comfortable with, so we'll see what that number turns out to be.
Yeah. Joe, wanted to ask you, you put out, and you can see the article if you give Joe a follow on Twitter. You talked about the industry of trading cards in baseball and just everything around it, people that have been collectors for a long time, the industry itself. I found it very interesting. Just kind of give people a little background about what you found doing the research for that article.
You know, I put out a tweet earlier today. I said I learned a lot and I learned nothing. I think that's pretty.
Explain that.
Because a lot of it is pretty obvious, right? I mean, guys collect for different reasons. There's no reason why people collect. Some are in it for the money. Some are in it for the sentimental value. But I think that's what makes it so unique is that there isn't one focus. I went to a local card shop on Super Bowl Sunday who was having kind of like a game show type event there. And there were 25 people in the store, and it's just such a tight-knit community between collectors. Everybody knows each other on a first-name basis. It's just so fascinating to see guys get so passionate about trading cards, about baseball cards specifically, which is what I wrote about. So, yeah, I mean, I learned a lot about how crazy these people can be and how devoted they can be and what the focuses are on collecting in 2019 and beyond. But I also learned nothing about really specifically why a lot of these guys collect, which I think is, to be honest with you, I think it's a good thing. It's a more entertaining way to look at it.
Reminds me of any episode on the Big Bang Theory in the comic shop, comic book store shop. No, I'm a guy that collected back when I was a youth. I don't do it anymore, but I got boxes in my home, and there's no market for them, even though I have some valuable ones.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think, especially with the way the Topps does business today, there are so many different subsets of cards and different autographs and relic cards, which are the cards that have the materials in them, that it almost seems like a lot of the cards, the special cards, are kind of devalued, which is one collector, Ben Aguirre is his name, brought up to me. He's been collecting for 31 years. His passion point is finding rookie cards of major League Hall of Famers. So, he told me that since you have all these autograph cards and different editions and versions of cards, there can be 35 different editions of a Matt Chapman card. I spoke to one guy who collects Saquon Barkley rookie cards, and I spoke to him on that Super Bowl Sunday. He had about 25. I spoke to him again maybe 2 weeks ago when he was up to about 120. So there's no shortage of different versions of cards now, which I think is really fascinating. You'll find that one player, that one guy that you really got to have. And seeing a lot of these people achieve that is something. The likes that they'll go.
Yeah, the market got really saturated back, oh gosh, it's probably been 30 years ago or so, and has continued to do that. Put the gum back in. That's what should happen, right? Put the gum back in.
That was terrible gum.
It was awful.
I know some of my sporting news cohorts actually opened up a 32-year-old pack of baseball cards, and some interns, they actually made them eat the gum. So I don't know what kind of business practices we're promoting over here at Sporting News, but don't try this at home.
That's cruel, man.
It couldn't have been worse. I will just say that. It couldn't have been worse. Hey, before we let you go here, Yelich is off to a tremendous start. The Milwaukee Brewers off to a tremendous start, proving that 2018 certainly was no fluke.
Yeah, you know, I love Yelich, and I've loved him since he was traded from the Marlins even before. I mean, you can tell how pure of a hitter this guy is. He took a pitch that was up near his eyes and took it out for a home run on Sunday, so... Yeah, he's a special ball player. He really is. He's fun to watch, and I think the Brewers are a really legit team. I kind of looked at them last year and the year before and say, you know what, they're cute, they're a sneaky team. they can be a surprise team, but not anymore. That offense is good. That bullpen, we know, anchored by Hader, is going to be very good, even with the loss of Knebel there. And they're going to be able to make moves for starting pitching if they need to at the deadline, depending who's still in it and who's out of it. But, yeah, I love the Brewers a lot. I don't think they're a sneaky team anymore, and the NL Central is going to be a really, really, really fun race to watch.
Kimbrel could be, that could be a landing spot for him.
Makes a lot of sense now.
It does. Makes a lot of sense out there. Hey, Joe, appreciate it. It's always great to have Major League Baseball back for another year, and look forward to talking with you, and keep up the great work at Sporting News.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Joe Rivera, give him a follow on Twitter as he joins us here to talk and kick off Major League Baseball, our talk. We try to do it on Tuesdays, as we mentioned, right here on KGYM. We'll take a break, come back. As we head to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up Colonel's tickets for a game next week against the Kane County Cougars. And the Colonel's kicking off the year 2 days from now against the Peoria Chiefs, the Midwest League affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals out at Vets Stadium. And that will be coming up on Thursday evening. Friday is the first Z102.9 Mug Club night of the season. You can go out there. You can get your mug. You can have it refilled on Friday nights. It's that simple. And go to kgymradio.com for a link to purchase tickets, a full schedule, and special promotions going on this season. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. You're going to pick up the tickets to see Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk Division III week with you when we return after this here on KGYM.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand-new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom-inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary Donor Wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the Donor Wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you, because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods, or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers, live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get more done. Like the AutoZone Rewards Program. Members get more, like a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more 5 times. Got more to do? We've got more for you to do it. Looking to protect your engine? Regular oil and oil filter changes are the best way to keep your engine running strong and running long. And if you're looking to do the job yourself, AutoZone can help. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes, and you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only, offered by Capital One and a member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Back in the gym class at 3:48 here on KGYM. Our thanks to Joe Rivera for talking some Major League Baseball with us here today. We'll do that on Tuesdays throughout the spring and the summer. Speaking of the spring, and that brings us Division III week as far as the NCAAs are concerned. And Chuck Juergen and Dan Hammes joining us here from the American Rivers Conference. Not putting a dollar in the jar today, Mark. We've done that before. I think we've only slipped about two or three times.
Early on.
But that was it. Other than that, we've done a pretty good job with the new name of the league. And it probably took you guys a little bit of time, too, to get acclimated, right?
Still slip every now and again.
It happens from time to time.
Yes.
Just from time to time.
Yep.
Old habits die hard.
That's right. So I think we're in good shape. It seems like everybody's, I'm sure there's still some folks who are not happy. There certainly were some folks who were not happy when we announced on August 9th, and we heard about it on social media, but made the changes for what we think are good reasons and makes us a little more nimble going forward as far as looking for other possible members outside of the state of Iowa. So we're good.
Still looking?
Yeah.
Expanding?
Yep. Never the door is never closed. I mean, I don't think we'd it'd be hard for us to get hard to imagine a situation where we would close the doors, just given the fact that there are just so many schools out there.
And by the name of the conference now, Dan and Chuck, it's both rivers.
Yes.
You may look at.
Yes. So. But those aren't things that just kind of fall in your lap. So
yeah.
they're a lot of hoops to jump through for schools who are thinking about leaving, and certainly for us to reach out. It's not really a pleasant thing, or not really kind of a Division III thing to be doing, is to go try to raid other conferences for schools. So it's got to be something that is going to work for both parties, but nothing really on the back burner at this point.
Dan, Division III week is about what again?
It's about providing opportunity and recognition to the student athletes for all of the work that they put in the different phases in the classroom, on their field of play, and the community service, campus involvement that takes place with those individuals. So this is really a week that highlights all of those efforts that go on throughout the year. Shed a little light on the over 194,000 student athletes across 451 Division III institutions around the country.
And you were one of those.
I was. It's been a little while. The time is starting to add up. The years go quick.
You
got to
ask him about that alumni football game that they played in a couple years ago, though.
That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You live and learn from that. And
you move
alumni
on.
Football games are a little different than pickup basketball or something along those lines.
That's why there aren't many pickup football games.
It's very, very true.
With pads, et cetera, out there. But, yeah, so many – and we are blessed here in Iowa to have – so many Division III institutions and small college institutions and NAIA institutions. We're kind of one of the hubs, I think, if you will, not only in the Midwest, but really around the country.
Yep. This upper Midwest is kind of a Division III haven, with Minnesota to our north, Wisconsin to our north and to our east, and CCIW over in Illinois. But yeah, here in Iowa, we're very fortunate to have the 9 members that we have, one across the Missouri into Nebraska now, Nebraska Wesleyan we admitted back in summer of 2016. So, I mean, it's really impressive when you break down the accomplishments of, this group of schools, that you might not expect the kind of athletic excellence that you get out of our schools when we're coming off Laura, second place finish in wrestling, 2 teams in both the men's and the women's basketball tournaments, which is not, that's not a usual thing for us. So we're looking forward to the spring now where, softball, we're probably as good a conference in softball as any conference in the country. And the local teams in both softball and baseball over there on the co-campus are really doing very, very well. So I know that you're happy about that.
I am indeed. I'm happy for all the D3 schools. Being a product of one, I know what the student athletes go through and often don't get all the headlines, but a lot of successful individuals there for sure. And you often get recognition on the national level in terms of hosting events. I think the wrestling is back here next year. Is that right?
Yeah, yes. We've go ahead.
No, wrestling is back here next year, and then again in 2022, and then coming up here at the end of May and beginning of June, last weekend in May and first week in June, we host the Division III Baseball World Series. Mm. So that'll be for the next 4 years. And then next fall, heading into winter, we host the Division III Volleyball Championships as well. So Cedar Rapids will be a hotbed of Division III athletics over the next few years.
Kind of unusual for us. We've got 7 national championships over the course of the next 4 years, and that, you know, it means a commitment, but it also means exposure for the conference. And so, we're starting out here with baseball, and we'll hopefully be reaching out to you all to try and help us promote that. Right now we've got tickets on sale through the Colonels. We got a $20 all sessions pass that gets you into the entire 5 days, possibly 6 days of the event. Those first 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, are going to be 4 baseball games. From 10 o'clock in the morning until 7:45 at night.
Does the ARC get an automatic bid then?
We do not.
We should negotiate that next time around.
I think that's the way NAIA actually does it.
I think it is.
So, we get the honor of saying that we're the host school, and then we just hope and pray that things go well. This is the first year that Division III will do a regional and then a super regional. So they'll go for the regional weekend. There'll be 4 teams instead of 6 or 8 teams. That'll whittle it down to 16 for that super regional weekend for a best 2 out of 3. And then the 8 regional winners will come to Cedar Rapids on that Wednesday. We'll have a Thursday practice day and start playing baseball, a lot of baseball, with great weather, we know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Starting on Friday, May 31st.
Yeah, I look forward to that. And before we run out of time here, you talked about Division III week and what the athletes do on campus, what they do academically. That people don't hear about in behind the scenes, and maybe just have both of you guys kind of explain real quick about some of those activities.
Well, he went through it, so I'm going to let him talk about the experience.
Well, I think we're pretty fortunate in the American Rivers Conference that the 9 institutions that are members are all high academic standard schools. So I think that's first and foremost that every student athlete is going through a rigorous course load, and then on top of that, your athletic side of things, while it's not Division I and the rules and regulations are a little bit different, the time that you're putting in, and a lot of times voluntarily putting in because you want to be good and you love the sport, is just as much as the Division I. You're still traveling. You're traveling by bus. You're not always, you don't get the charter flights and things of that nature. Our travel is relatively close for our conference. And then the community service, campus involvement is a huge factor as well. There's a lot of service projects on campuses that go on, and then the tie with Special Olympics, which is a partner of Division III, is a huge component of the experience for our student athletes.
And you'll see a bunch of that stuff on our school's websites this week, where a particular student athlete will be talking about his or her experience, or a service project will be highlighted. So that's sort of what the whole purpose of this week is to highlight that overall student athlete integration, becoming part of the campus experience that's supposed to be the foundation of Division III.
Hated that Western Civ course, but it made me better.
You got an A, so it doesn't matter.
South of that,
we're not going to go down that road.
give the website for folks so they can check it out.
So we're at rollrivers.com, and if you go to the baseball section, since we're starting to really push attendance for the College World Series, there's a special page that you can access from the baseball section of our website. And that will get you, right to the online ordering, or you can also call the Colonels for tickets and whatnot. But this is a chance for for the city to show it's a sports town, and also, you know, and so show the support for the community. And at the same time, you know, when you can show your support for your community and watch baseball all day, that's a pretty good deal.
And you're going to see some of those guys at the pro level. There's no doubt about it.
Some, you know, it's not common. Jordan Zimmerman is a Division III product. There are some, you know, there's certainly some guys who, you know, who will make that jump. But you know, yeah, it's good baseball. I mean, our tournament has been over at the stadium for many years, ever since I've been here, which is, you know, back to fall of 2008, and we'll be there again this year. So you got early May for the conference championship, and then the end of May for the national tournament.
Guys, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Stay tuned. Tom Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Napa Know
How. It's Love Your Car Month at Napa. And to show your car the love, get a Napa bucket for $2.99 and save 20% on almost everything you can fit inside, like car wash, car wax.